It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. I do pray many of my listeners have already written for last month's packet, which included my 24-page article on America's debt money system titled Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debt to the People. God willing, we are going to talk about economics, the worlds, and God's. We'll be reading God's laws on money, on debt, on interest, on gold and silver, and so on. And we'll see how our disobedience to the divine law has brought and is bringing great calamities upon our people and upon our nation. Some of you folks in the Midwest and northeastern parts of the United States are suffering through the worst cold spell in the history of the United States. Most of you probably never thought this had anything to do with God's laws. But if you will stay tuned to this preacher during the next several weeks, God willing, I believe I can show you that even the weather disruption is prophesied in the Word of God. Before we go to the Bible, though, I will tell you the probable immediate source of this calamity. You dear people who are out of work, or whose businesses have been closed down, or whose property has been damaged by this terrible cold, you may never have known it, but for about 20 years, some people in America have been trying to warn us that the red communist government in Russia was conducting experiments on how to cause great masses of freezing Arctic air to move south over the North American continent. This is called climate or weather warfare. It is my opinion, from information I have gathered on this over the last 20 years, that America is right now under a weather warfare attack from red communist Russia. The United States government itself has conducted weather control experiments over the continent for over 20 years. It was government cloud seeding which brought on the disastrous flood in Redwood Falls, South Dakota several years ago. Cloud seeding over Utah and Colorado in 1973 drenched that area with rain and snow and brought drought to the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, and the Plains areas. The congressional record carried extensive exposures of the use of weather control by our military in South Vietnam by causing excess rainfall in Laos and Cambodia to try to shut off the so-called Ho Chi Minh Trail from North Vietnam. For over 20 years, United States Air Force planes have been flying so-called hurricane watch flights over the Atlantic and have conducted experiments in seeding silver iodide into hurricanes to disrupt them or to change their direction. In the last few years, about 10 years to be exact, a cloak of silence has been placed over all such operations, and you no longer read of them in the public press, but they are still continuing. I do not plan to cover all of the scientific findings on such things, as I do want to spend most of the next broadcast on God's economic laws. But in just a moment, I will give you the scientific principle, I believe, which is bringing these massive intrusions of Arctic air into Canada and the United States. It is not complicated. It is scientifically feasible and physically possible using currently known methods of weather modification. Write to me now and ask for the February packet, and I will send you my booklet, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debt to the People. I am not selling this pamphlet. It is free for the asking, and it describes to you very simply and clearly just how the moneylenders in America are surely taking debt title to the nation. A few days ago, our local newspaper revealed the assessed value of all land and improvements in America now on the tax rolls is about $1 trillion. But what they did not reveal was that we American citizens owe the moneylenders the equivalent of $3 trillion. Yes, $3 trillion. That is federal, state, local, and private debts on which we are paying them interest, and through which they foreclose and take actual title on several tens of billions of dollars of other people's property every year. God said to our forefathers in Israel that if they disobeyed his laws, quote, "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee," let me repeat that, "he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him, he shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail." Deuteronomy 28, verses 43 and 44. In other words, one of the curses of God's law was for his people to be in debt to the stranger that is within thee. Any casual reading of the information about the men appointed by recent presidents to rule over the government bureaucracy will reveal that many, many of these men are alien-born, not born in the United States, but in Russia, in Poland, in Austria, in Germany, and so on. "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high." Investigation by various committees of Congress has revealed that the eastern banks, which hold most of the multi-billion dollar mortgages on the government, on industry, and on Americans, are owned by Europeans and Asians, not by Native Americans. Prophecy has come to pass. You should read, "My billions for the bankers brings war, taxes, and debts to the people." All right, in a minute we will turn to the Bible and read some of God's laws on money, but first, that scientific principle which the Reds may be using to devastate America and Canada with freezing Arctic air. Most of you folks know how a top spins. You've either played with a top when a youngster or you've seen children do it. Do you remember how a top could be standing in one place, spinning at high speed, or possibly slowly moving across the table or the sidewalk, and if someone touched it with a finger or a toe, it would spurt sideways while it still continued to spin? Well, our atmosphere moves across the face of the earth in great spinning masses of air, revolving around either high or low pressure areas. You've seen this on your television weather news, as the reporter draws arrows showing how the cold air is being brought south by air movement around a high-pressure area, or warm air is being brought north by the same means. This is common. It is nothing out of the ordinary. It is how we get gradual changes in weather all year long, and it is no secret. But in the last 10 years, our own government, in its experiment in seeding hurricanes, which are nothing more nor less than faster-moving circles of air masses, discovered that massive cloud seeding at one point on the edge of a hurricane had the same effect on that spinning hurricane as the touch of a toe on a spinning top. It would cause it to veer off and radically change direction. About 10 years ago, unrevealed to the American public, U.S. Air Force planes seeded the edge of a hurricane in the Atlantic east of Florida, and the hurricane turned directly west, crossed Florida at the 29th parallel, went west into the Gulf of Mexico, and turned north up the Mississippi Valley. It did extensive damage to Florida and other southeastern states, and brought floods and winds as far north as Minneapolis, Minnesota. The newspapers and television weathermen commented on its strange behavior, since hurricanes always travel from their origin in the Atlantic or the Caribbean in an arc, first slightly west of north, then northeast into the Atlantic Ocean, and dissipate as they reach the colder northern air. Their tracks are predictable. But this one had defied all known weather laws, and from its northward path had turned suddenly west, resuming its natural northerly direction only after it had traveled almost 1,000 miles west, contrary to all previous recorded hurricanes. This same thing was repeated just a few years ago with a hurricane off the eastern seaboard, which again turned directly west, crossed into the United States over New Jersey and Maryland, and did extensive damage in those states, plus Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York, and adjoining areas. The U.S. Weather Bureau dutifully reported the hundreds of millions of dollars in damage, but apparently all mention of the U.S. weather planes is forbidden, and the American people have completely forgotten that 10 years ago the government was experimenting on how to control or direct hurricanes. Now, this winter, massive, almost continent-sized cold air masses from beyond northern Canada are strangely changing their normal easterly path over Canada, Greenland, and the North Atlantic, and are veering south and coming into the United States over the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, and continuing on south and east, bringing disastrous freezes over one-third of the continental United States. The possible cause is the same. Massive silver iodide seeding by our communist enemy on the outer edge of a circling high-pressure area over Siberia and north of Alaska or Canada, touching the side of the spinning top, as it were, and causing it to dramatically shift its direction southward. Unbelievable? No, not at all. Remember, the Reds intend to destroy America, and they apparently have enough spies in America to learn everything our government knows about weather control. Just imagine the military advantage they would have if they could immobilize our northern and eastern cities before they launch their missiles in war. Well, that is all the time I shall take on that. We do pray God will have mercy, and we thank God for at least one governor who had the good sense to set aside a day of prayer for the people of his state to ask God's intervention. The whole deliverance of America from the red Antichrist Bolsheviks will, in the future, be tied up with our humbling ourselves in the face of enemy attack and praying to God for deliverance. God willing, we'll get into that on some of these broadcasts in the future. But now let us turn to the basic cause of our troubles, our disobedience to God's law. We are in violation in many areas, but for now we will discuss God's laws on money and economics. In the Bible following the Ten Commandments, God gave Moses several hundred commandment statutes and judgments, which make up God's laws for government and for the individuals. In Exodus 22, as God exhorted Israel about the personal relationship of people, he told them not to oppress any stranger or afflict any widow or fatherless child, verse 21 and 22, and then he speaks on lending money. This is Exodus 22. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury, verse 25. This is expanded in Leviticus 25, verses 35 through 37. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with or by thee, then shalt thou relieve or help him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. In Deuteronomy 23, God says he will bless them if they do not charge usury. Verse 19 and 20, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury, unto a stranger, and that means an alien outside of the nation. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. That is a plain statement from God Almighty that it was necessary that his people refrain from charging interest on money, or else God could not bless them in their land. And by the way, the words usury and interest are interchangeable. The moneylenders and their cohorts in America, including those in the church, have taught us for 100 years that usury is high or excessive interest. No, Usury is interest. Interest is usury. God's law forbids usury on money, period. Psalm 15 asks, Lord, who shall be in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Part of the answer, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. Jeremiah declared his righteousness by saying he had never charged usury. Jeremiah 15 and verse 10. In Ezekiel 18, Ezekiel said that if a man did that which is lawful and right, he would not charge usury, verse 8, and declares of the usurer in verse 13, he shall not live, he hath done all these abominations, he shall surely die. Just imagine, in God's word, the death penalty for lending money at interest, yet today there is hardly a Christian church in the nation that condemns this taking of this unjust gain. God told Israel in old Canaan land that he would scatter them among the heathen and disperse thee in the countries, and one of the reasons was this, Ezekiel 22, verses 12 through 15, in thee have they taken gifts to shed blood, in other words, bribery. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. That sounds like modern America. One of the most tragic errors taught from today's church pulpits is that these laws are no longer in effect. But Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. From this and other scripture passages, we know that Jesus came to, quote, put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart. That's in Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 10. In Luke 6, Jesus specifically told his followers they were not to lend for reward or gain, but to be merciful. Luke 6, verse 34 through 36, and Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. In John 1 and verse 4, it is written, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not my commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Martin Luther, the great light of the Reformation in Europe, and others of his day taught no such nonsense that God's laws were not to be obeyed. Luther compared the taking of usury with theft and murder, as the scripture does. From the time of the Reformation to within the last 100 years, many Christian denominations refused church membership to anyone who lent money at interest. Today, churches not only condone this ungodly evil, but practice it themselves. Our entire financial system is based on disobedience of these commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our ministers tell us we need not obey those commandments, and the result has been debt bondage for our people and the threatened destruction to our nation. During England's several hundred years' march toward personal liberty, the lending of money at interest was declared illegal by the kings. In the 10th century, usurers had their land forfeited to the crown. In the 11th century, in addition, the usurer was declared an outlaw and was banished from England. Up through the 15th century, the punishment for usurers varied from forfeiture of all property to the putting to death of lenders of money at interest. By the 18th century, the turning away from biblical law led to the establishment of interest as a legal claim, and by the 19th century, England passed into the control of the bankers. 800 years of upward struggle and thrust to personal liberty and to national prosperity has been all but destroyed in England in the last 100 years by bankers' wars, usury, and taxes. In England today, the living standard is dropping drastically, with a large percentage of the workers' earnings taken for the payment of interest to the bankers. America is following in England's footsteps because we have disobeyed God's laws on interest. Our banker control over our government would collapse without their ungodly usury, yet American ministers are silent on this iniquity. I read this in Ezekiel 22. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between unclean and the clean. They do not preach to the people the difference between right and wrong. It is common in modern America for ministers to praise our economic system, even to urge people to be sure and pay their debts to the moneylenders. Many go so far as to preach that credit and interest on credit are responsible for our high standard of living. They even quote the words of Jesus Christ in Luke 19 and claim that Jesus approved of interest on money. I was not going to go into the New Testament so quickly in this study, but since I mentioned that, perhaps we should, and we will read that parable in Luke 19, and I will demonstrate to you that Jesus not only did not approve of interest or usury on money, he condemned it. Now you turn to that and you read that after I go off the air. That is Luke 19, verses 11 through verse 27, in what is commonly called the parable of the 10 servants. This is the one where Jesus said to the one servant that he should have put his money with the bank, and then he would have collected interest. Now you read that, and then God willing, next week, I will demonstrate to you how that parable is taught by the preachers to mean the exact opposite of what it actually means. In verse 30 of Jeremiah 23, God says, "Behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor." And teaching God's word in error is what that is, stealing God's word from his people. Next week, God willing, we shall continue in God's Word and God's Law on money and economics. Be with me and have your Bible with you if you can. This is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.